Greetings this morning in Christ's name. God has blessed us with a privilege today to gather together in His house, and I've been blessed with that privilege again, blessed as we have been looking into His Word, and I trust that the blessing will continue to be ours as we continue to see what God has for us. Over the past several hundred years, in fact, probably over all of history, there has been exploration of different kinds. There's been exploration of different continents and different lands for various reasons. Often, one of the primary motivators or motivations for exploration was to discover something. Obviously, if they were exploring something, they wanted to discover something, look for something. Often, not always, it was to perhaps discover some kind of resource for something that would be valuable, would be profitable to humanity. Sometimes different nations would explore different regions within their own country. I'm thinking especially of in early American history. You can read about the same thing in other countries. I think of Europe and Russia. When they were in their early years, they would explore across their country to discover new things. In their exploration, they would often find valuable resources or things that they could use, things that would benefit mankind. I remember as a young person, I was very fascinated, and I still have somewhat of a fascination to that, with hearing about exploration in outer space. The times that the space shuttles were going into space, that always interested me very much. And what took place, where they were, how long, their exploration, that whole thing was very interesting to me. In my mind, one of the biggest resources of outer space is just space. There is just unstoppable space. Now think of what's there. I'm sure we don't know all of it, but we have hundreds, maybe thousands of satellites orbiting our planet for our benefit. You have vehicles that are newer than mine. You have built-in GPSs. If you have a smartphone, you have access to GPS. Well, these wouldn't work if we would not have those resources in outer space to contain the satellites that direct those things. So exploration, searching for resources that benefit mankind. This morning, I want to talk about a resource that has not been explored or discovered very well. I think I'm safe to say that. I understand that what I want to talk about, perhaps there is a bit of assumption on my part, but I do believe that the resource that I want to talk about this morning perhaps has been largely untapped in the Christian life. I'm told that this resource is limitless. There is no limit to this resource. It is available to all of us. It's not just limited to me or you, but it's available to all humans, to all humans who walk this earth, who have ever walked the earth and who will ever walk on this earth. Without this resource, you will die. We will die. We must tap into this resource or we cannot live. Many people do not realize the value of this resource. Only a few men and women over history have been deeply immersed into this resource. and most of us only use it when it's necessary. In 1952, Einstein was delivering a lecture on the campus of Princeton University, and a student asked this famous scientist, "What is there left in the entire world for original dissertation research?" I'm not going to go into a lot of detail what original dissertation research is, but I understand that it has to do with doing a research in the original. You can't go off of something that someone else has already discovered, has explored, has done their research on. You can't go off of that. You have to discover it yourself. So the student was saying, what is left to study on? Everything that has been studied, or everything that is, has been studied on already. There have been papers written. What is there left to do? Einstein considered this for a bit, and this was his reply. Find out about prayer and write on it. Find out about prayer and write on that. That is the resource that I want to talk about this morning. Title for the message simply is Pray, Your Life Depends on It. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Jude. Hope I wasn't keeping you in suspense too long about what I was going to preach on. I want to think about prayer. As Christians, I wonder if we don't often approach this subject of prayer with, well, yeah, yes, we know it's important. In fact, if I would ask you to talk about prayer, or if I would ask you to raise your hand, if prayer was important to you in your Christian life, I'm certain that you would raise your hand. I'm certain you would raise your hand and verify that it is important. But I wonder sometimes if we understand how important it really is. And I don't know, maybe this morning I'm just speaking for myself. I guess I find myself failing all too often in a deliberate life of prayer. And I think I'm safe in saying that is something common that we all face, failing too often in having a deliberate life of prayer. It's easy to pray short prayers. Now again, maybe you don't find it this way, but it is how I find it. It's easy to pray short prayers. It's easy to pray at mealtimes. It's easy to pray prayers when I'm desperate about something. When I need to preach a message and I'm struggling with it, I'm just desperate. It's pretty easy for me to pray then. It's easy to pray during those times. But my question is, what happens? What about on a daily basis in my life? What about on a daily basis in your life? Do you find yourself wanting to wrestle, to cry out, maybe to praise, to spend time speaking, talking to God, your Father, on a daily basis for a long period of time? This morning I have two questions before we read our passage here. One question is, would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? Think about that. Do you consider yourself to be a person devoted to prayer? In other words, what I'm asking is, would your wife, your family, your brothers or sisters, your associates, whoever, would they say that you live a life of prayer? Would they say that your life is immersed in prayer? You know, immediately our humanity kicks in and, well, I can't always be praying. I have to do something. I have to get to work. I can't always be praying. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking, though, how long do you spend time in praying? Would you consider yourself to be a person who is devoted to prayer? The second question is, would you say that Pine Grove, our congregation here, is devoted to prayer? Would you say that? Are we as a church, immersed in prayer and quickly go to prayer in any given situation? Are we prone to say, stop, why don't we pray about this matter? Why don't we pray about this situation? Or would it be otherwise? This morning I'm asking us, and I'm asking myself, first of all, to take a deeper look at who I am as a Christian man or a Christian lady sitting here this morning. Do I gravitate readily towards prayer? Maybe you're here this morning and prayer has become a chore for you. It is a duty that you do. You have it each day. You pray your prayer. You do your duty, but it's just that. There's not a lot of relationship in your prayer. Maybe it boils down to a quick, God, please help me today, and a few other things, and then off we go to work. I don't know. Or maybe you're here this morning and prayer has become dull because of discouragement, because you are discouraged. Maybe you have experienced some disappointments in your life. You still pray, but it's difficult. Maybe you have given up praying altogether. I trust not. Maybe you just don't pray at all, and you silently inside say, there's no use in praying. What is the use? It doesn't matter. Nothing changes. You've become despondent and lack in faith. Then again, maybe you're here this morning and you have a vibrant prayer life. You're excited about your relationship with God. You're in tune and you're a person that persists in prayer. It's easy for you to go into prayer. You love spending time in prayer. If you are that kind of a person, I say, praise the Lord. We need that kind of people. I really desire to be that kind of person. Well, hopefully, as we read some passages and go through this, we will get a better picture of the importance of a life of prayer. I'm not calling it a prayer life. There is a difference between a prayer life and a life of prayer. So that's my burden and my focus for my thoughts I felt led to share this morning. So here in the book of Jude, let's read verses 17 through 21. Jude, verses 17 through 21. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should work after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And this verse 20, this is a verse that you can highlight and underline. This is my point out of this passage. Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Doing a little background here with Jude. If you go to the first part of the book of Jude, you find similar words. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And then you go right to the end of the chapter, and he virtually says the same thing. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What Jude is doing here, he starts out. I started out writing this letter to encourage you in your Christian faith, or common salvation is the words that it used. Then he says, but I felt like I'm putting it in my own words here. I felt like I needed to say something to you about the fact that our faith is being attacked by false teachers. And there is all sorts of falsehoods out there, and we need to contend for the faith. That is what he's saying. And then he ends up his letter with saying, this is how you contend for the faith, by praying. The point I want out of this is there is a direct connection between your life of faith and your life of prayer. I'll say that again. There is a direct connection between your life of faith and your life of prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Remember, I said now, remember this thought of the direct connection between your faith, what you say you have in Christ Jesus, your life of faith, and your life of prayer. You can't have one without the other, and we'll see that. Jesus is talking here in Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is why he said this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now listen to what Jesus says. And the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God, using my own words here, Jesus turns to the people and says, did you just hear what I said about this judge? He doesn't care about anyone. In fact, he doesn't care about God. That widow was nothing to him. She was a poor widow, and all he was about was his own gain, his own popularity. He didn't care. But because she persisted in coming to him, he wearied of her and said, okay, I'll take care of it. Leave me alone. I will take care of it. Jesus turned to the crowd or whoever he was talking to and said this, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God. He turns this around and makes it a spiritual thing. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then he says something nevertheless. Even though God will be or is a merciful and just God to you and me, his children, he says he will avenge you. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when I come back, shall he find faith on the earth? Why would he say that? The widow persisted in perhaps a humanistic kind of way. She had faith that at some point this judge will hear her. Again, there is a direct connection between faith and prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then he asked the question, when I come back, will there be any faith found on the earth? Again, the connection, I believe, is that a life of prayer is the language of faith. I can stand up here and say that I have faith. I feel like I do, but how much? And if my prayer life is inadequate and meager at most, it is like having no oxygen. I can't breathe. I wonder sometimes how blue I look as a Christian. How starved am I for that breath? No oxygen. How blue and oxygen starved do I look to God? Gasping spiritually for breath. My faith is weak. I don't believe. I find it hard to pray. What about myself? What about you? What about us this morning? We breathe out prayer. And as we breathe out our prayers, God breathes back into us his graces and his mercies, his power to live this Christian life that we say we have. Jude connects it here. He connects these things. Jesus connected it. Prayer and faith go together. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18, a very familiar verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There we have nearly the same words that Jude used. Praying in the Spirit. Contend for your faith. You can't have faith and not a prayer life. It is your breath of life. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This passage here in Ephesians comes right on the heels of where it talks about the armor of God. Prayer is the means by which we get the power to live our life of faith, and the means by which we remain faithful. It is a must. Prayer is the exercise, I've said this already, prayer is the exercise in the language of faith. Luke 21. Luke 21, verses 34, 35, and 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Very similar words to what Jesus said when he asked, "When I come back, will there be faith?" This morning we must pray so that there will be faith when Jesus returns. The writer here in Luke also says that we need to always pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So this morning, I would just say to all of us, when we allow ourselves to slide into prayerlessness, when my life becomes a prayerless life, what's happening is I am restricting my faith, the oxygen, the supernatural power, the grace that God wants to pour into our life to live the life of faith, is stunted because the oxygen level is too low. The oxygen is cut off by me not praying. So this morning, let's breathe. Let's not forget to breathe. Breathe deeply, long and hard, your life of faith. I've wondered already what kind of power God would unleash in my life and in your life, in the life of the church, if we would spend several hours a day in prayer. Have you ever thought about that? What kind of power would God unleash in our lives? We have probably all heard of examples of saints who I've read stories of individuals who spent hours in prayer, hours and hours in prayer before they ever started the day. I've never spent 4 hours a day in prayer. I don't believe. I possibly have spent a half an hour of praying solid in a day. I'm not sure. Maybe 45 minutes, but never 4 hours or 5 or 6 hours in prayer, wrestling with God and coming to the throne of grace. And I wonder what would happen if we would do that. I wonder what would happen in our lives and in our families' lives. I wonder what would happen here at Pine Grove if we would catch a vision for a life of prayer. You read stories of mothers who prayed long and hard for their children and the difference that made in those individuals' lives. Do we pray like that today? I admit and understand that it's not just prayer that affects the way our families turn out. I know that. But I believe that prayer does make a definite difference. Fathers, I believe that we need to be on our knees, fighting the battle for our children, interceding on their behalf. We need to be on our knees, praying for our wives, lifting them to the throne of grace. Mothers, you need to do the same thing. Pray for your children. Pray for them by name. Intercede on their behalf. Pray for your husbands. Pray for us that we can lead and that we could do it well, that we would mind the Holy Spirit. We need to have people who embrace a life of prayer. I believe we would see some dramatic changes on a personal level. I believe that we would see some dramatic changes on a family level, on a church level, and perhaps even on a community level. You think about that. If we would immerse ourselves more in prayer. But it's hard work. It's hard work. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. I know, I do. It's easy to do. My employees are out working. I got up a little bit late, so I can't spend as much time in praying. I know what it's like. The temptation is there to cut it short. I got to bed too late. I have to get up too early. I don't have time. What about you? Prayer is the breath of life. Your life depends on it. Your faith depends on it. Your spiritual life depends on that breathing, on that praying. Jesus was concerned that our faith remained. And he said the way it remained is through our prayer life. There is a second way to look at this thing, and this is a sobering way to me to look at it. It's basically saying the same thing, but I guess from a different angle. A prayer life is an indication, no, a prayerless life is an indication of a lack of faith. I believe that to be true. A prayerless life is an indication of a lack of faith. This morning, if you find yourself not praying much regularly, then is it fair to say that you really don't have a lot of faith? I believe it is, because prayer takes faith. You have to believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, it says. I can stand here and intellectually say that I believe, but unless my actions through prayer prove me correct, there is no faith. Without prayer, there is no faith. You cannot disconnect them. They are connected. And I wonder if we are getting blue in the face, spiritually speaking. Hebrews 11, familiar verse. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I already alluded to that verse. This morning, what breaks down our faith? What are some things, what are things that break down our faith? What are the things that cause you to lose focus in prayer life? What are the fears? What are the sinful habits? What causes the doubting? Is it unresolved anger? This morning in the Sunday school class, we talked about a little bit about if anger is okay or not. But is it unresolved anger? Is it hurt? Are you hanging into some vicious things? I feel like I need to take inventory of those things in my life. And I would challenge all of us to do that. Take inventory. Well, how do we persevere in prayer? The need for a purposeful life of prayer is ever more needed. Why is that? Here's why. You and I live in an age of much noise. There is so much noise around us. What do I mean by that? There is a constant clamoring for our attention. We're doing so many things. We're either talking on the phone, working on the computer, texting, updating our WhatsApp status, doing any number of things. Listening to this, watching that, and we're not praying. So often, that is what gets sacrificed. Maybe you don't find it that way, but I do. So often, our time with God, our relationship with God is what gets sacrificed for all these things that we enjoy, these fun things. We need to purpose to pray. You and I need to purpose to reject the things that drain our life of faith, that keep us from praying, that's robbing our time from praying. God has put prayer in place so that we can receive from Him the supernatural help that I need, that you need to live this life that we say we have in Him. And so how can we focus? There are three things that I would like to present to you. Three things on how we can focus better on our prayer life. You can write them down if you care to. Things that I want us to consider. Number one, I want you to consider meditating more on God's Word. Meditating more on God's Word. What do I mean by that? Take time to reflect on God's Word. Allow it to speak to you. One thing that I've found very helpful when I'm reading His Word, and I sit down to read God's Word, is to simply ask God, God, what is it that you want me to get out of this today? What is in this for me? And go into that reading with that in mind. God, what are you trying to say out of this passage? I've read it before, I've read it many times, but God, what is in this that you want me to take with me today? I believe that allows God to speak to us through His Holy Spirit, and it makes us more ready to receive it. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How do we abide in Him? How do we abide in God? By His Word. Through reading, through meditating on His Word. We have His Word. That is where we learn how to abide in Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans says. And so the key to this, the key is to believe that the Bible is written for me. It is specifically for me, and I will meditate on it. The second thing that I believe will help us focus on this life of prayer and is needful for us as men and women, children of God, is to persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. When we persevere in prayer, it helps us to see us as we ought. As you determine to persist in prayer, when you do that intentionally, you begin to see yourself as God sees you. It helps us see that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. God does love me. When we intentionally focus on praying, we begin to see those things as we should. C.S. Lewis says this, "If you're a proud person, you will never be able to see God, because a proud person looking down on everyone cannot see something that is above him. Something that is bigger than himself, and from that image I get that it is God's image that I learn humility. I really don't know how sinful I am unless I'm in the presence of a holy God. You come into the presence of a holy God through prayer." That is how we come into His presence. As we intentionally pray and continually pray, spend quality time praying, we begin to see ourselves as God sees us. And I know, again, we struggle with this thing, and it's real. I'm not minimizing that of when do I find time to pray. When in the busy schedule, mothers with children, how can I find time to spend alone in prayer? Well, may God give you the strength to find that time. Meditate. Find time to spend in prayer to God. The third thing on how we can focus better on prayers. Number three, when I am praying, I need to remember that I am praying to my Heavenly Father. Remember who we are praying to. It is my Heavenly Father. It's not just some entity out there. He's my Heavenly Father. He's the one who wants to pour His grace, His mercy, and pour out His power into my life so that I can be effective in His kingdom for His honor and for His glory. He is my Father, and I need to know that when I come to Him in prayer. When that happens, there is something that happens right here within me. When I recognize God for who He is as my Father, He's there wanting to pour out His love, His Spirit on me. It does something to me. When our hearts are united and bonded in prayer to our Father, we begin to experience relationship with Him like never before. He knows all things. He wants to give us all things. Jesus Himself says, if these earthly fathers know how to give their children, how much more will my Heavenly Father give to you? He is our Father, and He wants to have a relationship with us. He is a good Father. He knows how to give generously above all that we ever ask. My closing comments are this. For us here at Pine Grove, pray. Pray alone. Pray alone in your closet. Weep before the Lord. Cry out to Him. Praise Him. Beg Him. Go to the mercy seat. Pray in your closet. Pray together. Come to church and pray together. Intercede for each other. Learn to love through your praying for each other. Pray that God would show you what He wants you to do with the rest of your life. What all would God bring about in your personal life? What all would He bring about in your family's life, in your friend's life, in your youth group, in the church, in the community, in our relationships, if we would become men and women that have a vibrant, full and overflowing life of prayer? Don't forget to breathe. Prayer is the breath of life for your life of faith. And I just want to encourage all of us, for the sake of the bride of Christ, for the sake of, yes, our church right here, for the sake of the brethren and sisters sitting beside you, pray. Develop a passion. Develop a compassion for each other, a heart of prayer. That's my burden for these thoughts on prayer. It's something that I desire to grow in and just have more of a vibrant prayer life. Let's kneel for prayer.